Hey, everybody. Welcome back, romance readers, to another thrilling episode of Buzzing About Romance. I'm Becky, and we're shifting gears and heading straight into the fast lane of love. Join me on this high-octane adventure are Lindsay and Jenny. Hi, friends.
Hey.
The car puns. I brought all of the car and racing puns. All of them.
I'm ready.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. So before we get into, obviously, this episode's going to be about racing. We've been teasing it for a minute. This has been Lindsay's dream episode for, like, I think I casually mentioned it back, like, March, April. Like, oh, we should do a racing.
It was on it.
And Lindsay's like, yes.
And I was like, I've read so many of these. Now I have a place to talk about them.
Now she has a place to talk about them. I do want to mention that over on our website, so if you are listening to this today, August the 25th, head over to our website for the final day of nominations for the best beard of romance. Today's the last day to nominate. Voting in round two will start August 30th through September 10th. And we have quite a good selection. And what we're voting for the best beard of romance is this will be one of our selections for No Shave November Sip and Discuss episodes on Wednesdays. So if you're always like, hey, you never read the books I want you to read or the author you want us to read, here's your chance. You can nominate. And then once voting starts, you can vote once daily per email address. Make up all the fake ones.
Okay.
Okay. So here we go. From the roar of the engines to the sparks flying on and off the track, we got a lineup of romances that are guaranteed to rev your engine and make your heart race. Whether you're a fan of Formula One, NASCAR, or just love the idea of a speed demon falling head over heels, we've got something for everyone. So buckle up, because we're about to take you on a wild ride through some of the hottest racing romances out there. Get ready for love at full throttle, where the only thing faster than the cars is how quickly these characters fall for each other. Let's burn some rubber and dive into the world of racing romances. Did you catch all those?
Yes, I like it.
You like it. That was very punny.
Done, Becky.
Thanks. Okay, so I kind of was like trying to think. I thought there were tons of racing books.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
There's not.
No, there's not. I thought there were a lot, like, when I was reading at the time. But then, like, when I was looking into what all was out there for this episode, I was like, huh, did I cover pretty much everything that was out at that time and available? Because, like, there's a lot that's out there in terms of, like, having stuff to talk about for an episode. But in terms of, like, if you wanted to spend a month or 2 months just reading Formula One, you'd run out of books.
You would. And it's really interesting to me because I thought Formula One, like, they had a Vegas race last year. I thought, like, Formula One was coming to the forefront. Like, this was going to be the next popular sport. You hear people talk about it more in casual conversation. And I really thought, like, there's got to be more books than what I'm finding. And there just isn't as many as I thought there were.
No, and they seem to come in, like, spurts. Like, there's, like, a group of them, and then there's, like, kind of a lull of a couple years, and then there's, like, a group of them again. And
yeah. So, you know, one of the things that, like, compels us towards, so let's talk about what compels us towards racing. And some of it, it's different than a sports romance, right? Because it's competitive, but it's really competitive against yourself.
Yeah, I would say so. And it's, I mean, it's a little more dangerous, right? I mean,
stakes are very high, but there's an immense amount of pressure on the drivers to be in peak physical condition to be able to perform. Like, you cannot even, like, we could not even get in a race car. Like, we would not even be allowed to drive one of these. Because, and, like, that's one of the things I like about the book is, like, I learned a lot in the books about F1, and then, like, it prompted me to, like, actually read about, like, what they go through. And then I found some really interesting YouTube videos of, like, NFL play. Like, there was one video of an NFL player and a Formula One racer, and they were in a situation where they tested their reflexes against each other, or, like, they tried to do each other's workouts. And, like, obviously, like, Formula One racers are, like, ready to do an Ironman, a full-blown Ironman, like you just tell them to go and that's like they're conditioning, they're ready for it. But like they're crazy. Like the things that they do go beyond just like physical fitness. It's like reflex training, oxygen depletion training, like all these things to be able to withstand G forces for that long at that level. And I never knew how much went into it
Yeah.
until I started reading these books and like researching. And it was pretty riveting.
So before we get into like character types that we see in all this, Stacy brings up a comment in the chat that we have to address. And we were going to address it a little later into the episode because it's really exciting for one of the co-hosts. Like, very exciting. So Stacy in the comment says, I feel like Harlequin used to have a NASCAR series. Well, you would be very, very correct, Stacy. And it's actually kind of a big deal because, so one of the things I learned in researching this episode is that racing is very litigious. That if you use like a team name or you use like a car, type thing, they will send you cease and desist to take that down, which is what leads me to believe that like we questioned S.L. Scott's book about her lack of specificness of what circuit he's racing in and what city he's in. That probably
It was
was
a little vague.
it was very vague, and it was probably done on purpose because of this very litigious mentality around the racing world. And it comes into the secrets of the car and the engines, along with the amount of sponsors, and the teams, and there's a whole little dynamic. So one of the things that in our research, and I remember these coming out, we found the Harlequin NASCAR series. There, it started in 2006 and it was a big deal. Like Jenny shared the article of the write-up of the announcement and launching of this series in the New York Times. Like it
I
was
still have it
huge.
up.
It was huge, because not only were they allowed to label them with NASCAR on the Harlequin books, it was a mass market. It was part of like one of their intrigues. It was one of their lines. And it went on for till 2010 with 80 books.
Somewhere between like that, I mean, because they also did like special holiday editions and stuff. So yes, there are dozens of books.
So in this article that we're reading, we found out that one, they were able to use an actual driver's likeness in one of the stories.
He didn't recognize. He didn't recognize himself.
And they NASCAR hosted a speed dating event at one of their races. And you could buy the books in the NASCAR merch at races.
Okay, so I find that part really funny because like Jenny was talking about NASCAR and I was like, yeah, I went to races as a kid. I cannot imagine the books like the like I was t talking about this earlier, like they have like the NASCAR gift shop or whatever is literally just like a t-shirt hut where it's like a truck trailer. It's like more often than not like it's still attached to the truck.
Right.
Like, they
Yes.
literally
It's
just
like
open
tied
up the
solely.
sides, like the, you know, like the RV awnings, like they just open up the side of the tent, like an RV awning. They go in the back gate, just like normal. And then they like sell merch that way, like with the little, back, even back in the day, they were very advanced with their credit card scanners. And yeah.
So that NASCAR series. So anybody who's listening to this, if you go to a used bookstore and you come across one of the Harlequin NASCAR series, could you please buy it and send it to Jenny or myself, we'll pay for shipping. Yeah. And the book, we'll pay for it. Because
I can't get them on ebook.
Right. They did not. So those books, that category came out before ebooks, and there is no licensing expectation to turn them into ebooks. Again, because of the NASCAR, the specialty of it. So finding those is very rare. So if you come across a NASCAR book from Harlequin, could you please let Jenny know?
Or if, like, you have connections to Harlequin and know where they're still storing some of these in a long-lost warehouse.
They do not have them, I can promise you.
I found one on their website for 60%. No, it was only 20% off.
I sent you eBay listings.
I know.
I mean, and there were some authors that I recognized. I would be interested to see if those authors are writing under different names now.
Yeah.
Abby Gaines. She wrote two in that world. And I believe that she is still writing Harlequin categories. Okay. I think she's still. But yeah, it's really, I thought that was, yeah, Susie, Harlequin NASCAR line. It ran from 2006 until 2010. It's about 80 books. And it says NASCAR with the rainbow. They have a checker flag on the
Yeah, it's got the NASCAR like logo that you expect with NASCAR.
Yeah.
But one of the like things in the New York Times article that kind of like, I don't know, struck me as odd is the writers. Writers have to abide by certain rules. No crashes, no drugs or alcohol, and no sex.
Which means they're probably fade to black.
Right, because they talked about like a kiss that was like, yeah, like he picked her up and carried her to bed, blah blah blah. But I'm like, no crashes, like, come on, like that's, I mean, 25% of people are probably watching it just for the crashes,
right? Well, and that's something to talk about. So why are the race books so exciting? And one of it is, I often feel like in a lot of the books that I have read that are racers, race car drivers, he's a bad boy in need of some kind of redemption. Because like Racer by Katie Evans, he's a bad boy. He needs redemption.
Almost all of mine, actually all of the ones I've read, there's some kind of bad boy in a situation.
Well, and I'm working on Cross the Line by Simone Sultani, which is one of our Sip and Discuss coming up. He's a bad guy. Like, he's a jackass.
Mine are like half and half.
Half and half?
Yeah.
I will say, like, they do talk about, like, what drives some of that. In a lot of the books I've read, like, they do talk about what drives that behavior. And it is because, like, when you're, like, and I think like scientifically too, they've talked about like when you expose yourself to high levels of G forces, like what it, like you set a new baseline for yourself for excitement. So it is really hard for like a person in this kind of job where they're doing this, like exposing themselves that much. Like I think it would be really hard to create a good boy racer because of like,
I mean, NASCAR's tried to do it, and it usually has backfired on them, so yeah.
J.C. Burton's One Sweet Ride, which is part of her play-by-play series, which is a multi-sport series, he's kind of jerky, but he's a jerk for a reason. His father's a politician. His father wants him to stop playing with his cars and come home and go on the campaign, you know, grow up, come on the campaign, help me out. And his dad sends like a publicist to work with him, and she travels around with him. His reason for being a bad guy is because he just doesn't like his father and thinks his father's a jackass. So it's, but overall, like he's pretty decent. But I think the majority of mine are assholes.
Yeah, I mean, most of them are. Like one of them, the, like, I can't remember exactly which one, but like one of them, I distinctly remember a scene where like the guy keeps putting himself in extreme adventures. Like he goes skydiving and he like before a race day runs like a marathon and she's like, "Why are you doing this to yourself?" And he's like, "I just can't, like I can't handle not feeling excitement." He's like, "I have to do these things to feel good about life." And she's like, "Well, then I'm leaving you." Because she's like, "This doesn't work for me."
Fair.
Like, so I don't know. It
Well, it's, I mean,
is.
it's definitely part of that, like, adrenaline. Like, obviously, I'm going to wreck Cabrera Herbert's, like, racing series in the first one that is junkie, because, like, adrenaline junkie. It's the adrenaline rush, right? Like, man, I was really bad at, like, pushing my car to the max when I was a teenager, and it's just like some of that thrill of thinking like you're in control when you really aren't.
Yeah. Well, and I think one of the things that's really interesting is oftentimes these heroes in these books are kind of lone wolves. They have teams, they have publicists, they have managers, there's mechanics, there's, the other drivers that are on that specific team, but it has a lone wolf mentality. And so, kind of that asshole adrenaline junkie makes sense.
Right, they're the only name like on the list when the day is done.
Right. And it's their points and their scoring that matters, and that fear of losing out if you don't push yourself. So, you start to like become a junkie for the adrenaline to be pushed. And sometimes, though, I will say one of the things that I noticed in a lot of these books is, sometimes the woman is there as an ability to help fix him. Like, there's a lot of like fixing, like a publicity issue, fixing, how he interacted with a fan. Like, she has, there's, I just felt like there was a lot of fixing.
I have a couple that isn't, but yeah, that is very true.
Also, so racing is very male dominated as far as from like mechanics and wrench guys to managers to team. You might see a female publicist here or there, but overall, this is really male dominated. So finding a female race car driver romance was also very difficult.
Yeah, a lot. So the three that I have that are the best were somewhat in those situations. So the three that I have the best, the female that I liked the most out of everything I read, the female main character is a PT. She's his physical therapist and personal trainer. So that was an interesting
Yeah, I
dynamic.
was like, I'm pretty sure I got that one on my list.
Give the
And then,
titles, Lindsay, give us the titles and the authors.
okay, so that's Wrecked by Kat Ransom. That is the second book in her Donnington Racing series. And that one is really good. Like, so when he became, they knew each other as kids. His dad was a famous racer. Her mom was his dad's physical therapist. So she followed in her mom's footsteps. They were friends as kids. Like when his dad retires, her mom moves back to the States. She winds up going in the same path. And then when he becomes Logan, the male main character becomes the racer, he invites Joe, the female main character, to be his physical therapist. They're best friends. She's in love with him. He is an absolute wreck of a person. This book has mafia ties. Her other best friend, who also works in the racing circuit, I think they become friends from the racing circuit. I can't remember her circumstances, but she has five brothers and they have some kind of like Irish mafia situation. I can't remember all the
I mean,
details,
it
but
would
it's
be a good way to launder money.
it
And
would be.
this is a unique rec for me because this was a long book. This was a long book
Okay.
and I really liked it. I read it without putting it down. That's another thing with these books. Like, even if they're not the best book you've ever read, like, because of how action-paced they are, like, action
Packed.
and like fast-paced they are, even if it's a longer book, it's hard to put them down.
That is something, that was something that came up over and over again as I was looking. Oftentimes, because of risk and reward and the pacing and the excitement that comes with the racing and the potential that comes in those moments, they tend to read very fast. So you can even have a really long book, but because of risk and reward and the fast-pacing maneuver of a car race, it makes it seem faster, like the book writes faster.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's just go ahead and we'll go through some book recs. I felt like one of the things is obviously, you know, we're in the US, we're US based. So Formula One isn't huge here. It's slowly making its rounds here. But US is going to be NASCAR. I didn't find a ton of stock car racing, though.
Stock car racing is boring. Like, I mean, NASCAR is the National Association of Stock Car Automobile Racing, but there is nothing stock about that car. Like, you cannot go to a dealership and buy a car like that. But
Right.
once upon a time, they were stock. But yeah, stock
Do
cars.
you know that NASCAR got its base and start in bootlegging and moonshine runners?
Yeah.
I always find that fascinating.
I mean,
They were
how
running
cute.
alcohol.
I mean,
Okay,
yeah,
but
I
Susie
mean,
asked, are they allowed to crash now? So, Susie, one of the things that we found as we were doing this episode and reading these books, the authors are not very specific in what genre of race a car is and all of that, because so there aren't those limitations. NASCAR put those limitations on Harlequin because they were using the NASCAR label. But as it stands now, none of the books that we're reading right now have approval or sponsorship from any of the world racing groups or associations.
no, and they are all vague. Like to your point earlier, like they are clear that they're a Formula One romance, but like to your point earlier, like there's not a lot of talking about the types of cars. There is talking about like the logistics that goes into enhancing the cars. Like they do the what is it? It's like that check, like final check before the race where you have to like submit your car and like lock the modifications. You can't make anything else. I forget what they called that. But they do feature like those kinds of steps of the race, but they're not specific to like sponsors or like who the car is owned by. Like the ownership groups or the racing teams are all made up. They don't even talk about the track names a lot of times, like to what Becky said earlier. Like they will say like, oh, we're in Monaco or however you say it. I'm sorry, I butcher names all the time.
Morocco.
Like they'll tell you like, oh, we're in Singapore. Like they'll tell you like where they are geographically, but they won't go into the depth. Like they're very good about sep like there is racing action on the page, but the romances, from what I've read, like a lot of the romance happens away from the track or like away from the situations where they'd want, like they'd have to feature that kind of detail.
Yeah. Okay. So, Jenny, what do you've got for recommendations? Give one or two, and then we'll move to the next.
Okay, so yeah, the Gear Shark series by Cambria Herbert. That's Junkie and Rev are the first ones. That's Trent and Drew and MM. So the race cars in this series is like they're introducing a new kind of racing circuit that is like supposed to be no rules, but you got to have some rules, obviously. But they're taking like street racers and making them pro.
Yeah, I didn't find any like drag racing romances or.
I have like a couple that are like drag racing, but they're like backstreet drag racing, which is how like some of the people in this like Gear Shark series kind of start. They do more street racing, like not dragging, but
The I just was shocked that there wasn't more, like with Fast and Furious,
Yeah, I was really shocked
like
about the
underground
lack of.
racing.
Yeah, I thought that would be bigger, but I'm also not entirely surprised because, like, there's a lot of female interest in sports for like hockey, and like, I think female interest in sports is growing, but I think like these sports, like racing in particular, has never done a good job of marketing to women. So I feel like they have less interest, so there's like fewer. Like, if you don't know as much about something, you're less prone to write about it. So that's why I think, like,
It's less.
yeah. And especially like with the Fast and the Furious era, one of my cousins was super into it. Like, he wanted one of those Nissan imports to like soup up. Like, he's done that with a few cars. Very Fast and the Furious vein. Never raced them that I'm aware. But like, I don't know enough about that. Like, I know, like, theoretically, like, what enhancements I would do to my car if I had them, but it's like, oh, I would like a Bose speaker system. Like, I don't know what kind of shocks to put on my car. I don't know what kind of spoiler is going to make me have less drag when I'm going 0 to 90. I don't even think about going 0 to 90. So,
Oh,
like,
definitely.
I'm never going to be a person who would, like, be able to write that kind of book just because, like, there's such an educational gap that I would need to fill. And like the sheer level of research that would go into that is very.
That's where my new job comes in. I'm gonna be like, you tell me what you're gonna write, and I will research it and give you a cheat sheet.
Started with
One of the things that I was thinking about as I was going through this, and this is part of the reason I believe that NASCAR did what they did with allowing Harlequin to have access to their branding, was in the early 2000s, there was the NASCAR mom vote. The candidates went out in the early 2000s to the NASCAR races to get those, small town rural women interested in candidates. Like, it was a whole
Yeah,
thing.
because I was like, that's definitely like the white suburban mom vote now. I mean, these are the same people, like, well, not the same, but same demographic.
Yeah, and so that was part of it. That was like, George Bush versus Al Gore. Like, that was one of the things. Like, who's going to get this untapped resource of the suburban mom, the NASCAR wife? And so they would go, like, have political setups at the races. So I also think that there's some of that with, Harlequin and NASCAR. Like, oh, we got to get more women here.
That is such a niche demographic to target.
Yeah,
Like, can you imagine the conversations
but
that
that
were
would
like,
be your
let's
hot.
target this niche
I
demographic?
mean,
Like, I want to know.
well, like, like, at, okay, I don't think I mentioned like on here. Like, I was a huge NASCAR fan in my middle school and high school years. Like, annoyingly. NASCAR fan. Like, I was the person that like corrected everybody on their facts and statistics, knew what all the flags meant, like who had the best pit stop times. Like, I was annoying. And I think for NASCAR, like Harlequin, they saw dollar signs. Like, if you're gonna partner with somebody that is selling romance books, that's who you want to do it with.
Okay, so back to our book recs. Kay
Yeah.
Bromberg, she's known for writing racing romances. She has her Driven series, she has like a Full Throttle series. So, I mean, that's kind of her niche. I mean, I think that she opened up her Driven world for other authors to write in. And then I think she had a Passions Flick movie
Yes, she did.
for hers. Lauren Asher, her very first set of four books is her Dirty Air series, which is about race car drivers and a team of race car drivers. And it's really good. I like it. It's way better than her Lakefront Billionaires and whatever she's currently writing. The books made sense.
I like that series a lot. The Dirty Air series, but I also like the Full Throttle series. I read the first three of those. Those were on my recommendation list. Off the Grid is an F1 racer and an owner's daughter. On the Edge is a fake romance with the intern, and that's a PR stunt. So like these are very much in the vein of like what Becky was talking about. Over the Limit is book three. That's a racer and the teammate's ex-girlfriend. So like it's pretty standard. The fourth book just released, so I haven't finished it yet, but I really liked that series. She did a good job.
Tracy Wolf has a series called Hotwired Accelerate. He was the driver. The rest of it is about the team. Let's see. What else do I have here? Kaylee Ryan has Trust the Push. That's more, I venture to guess that's the way I read it. It doesn't really state, but I think it's more stock car racing. And it's more mechanic than driver. See here. Do you got any others,
I
Lindsay?
got. Oh,
Go.
I do. Boy, do I ever.
Jump them out.
I was like, I got plenty.
Well, keep going then.
So, I mentioned like Wrecked from Kat Ransom. I also like Lights Out, which is the first in the Donington Racing series. That is a two book series, so it's pretty easy to read. I definitely liked Wrecked more. Then she also has the Fast series, and I didn't write any notes about this other than like literally my notes for this series was loved it, but the titles are named like pornos, Fast and Wet, Fast and Hot. Like, oh my God, why did I write this in my notes? Like, I'm not helpful to myself at all. Like, but this is probably helpful to someone in the audience. I really enjoyed them. They were more than just their names.
Rebecca Sharp has Fastest Girl in Town. I read it. I believe she's the driver. I think. I have to look now. Now I'm doubting myself. What?
Only have one that is a female main character who's a driver, and it just released in April of this year. It's on my TBR, so I haven't read it, but it's Make My Heart Race by Grace McGinnery. And I was honestly saving this for one of my new author TBRs because one of our new author challenges because I think that's what prompted me to start reading these because so many of them were new to me. Like, I had never read Lauren Asher before, but she'd been on my TBR. I'd never read Kat Ransom. And then, like, my two favorites that I read were Revved by Samantha Towley. I don't know if I said that right. And Revived by Samantha Towley. So,
That
Revved.
was my PT wreck, was revived.
Okay. Wait, I thought she was his therapist.
Oh, yeah, she is like his counseling therapist.
So Revved Andy is a female mechanic, and she goes by Andy, even though her name is Alexandra. She goes by Andy. So Carrick, the bad boy racer, thinks that his new mechanic is a man, and then he sees her, starts hitting on her, over the top, ridiculous with his hitting on her, and then he finds out that she is his new mechanic, and he has been forbidden from dating her. That one I really enjoy. It's a hidden identity because her dad is a racer, a Formula One racer who died on the track. And she didn't want to get in the sport based on his merit. She wanted to get into the sport based on her ability. So, like, he doesn't know, but her dad is like his idol. So, that's an interesting one. That's one of my favorites.
I read The
That and Revived.
Spring Pole Position by Rebecca J. Caffrey. This was male male. It was a novella that was out from Berkeley, I believe. It was really well done. I really enjoyed it. But also, again, I was shocked that there's aren't more male male books in this category.
The like Gear Shark series I mentioned earlier, there's two male male couples and one female male couple,
Yeah,
and all of them are racers.
it feels like something that would be, you know what I mean? You would think, right?
Have you seen the
Maybe not.
NASCAR crash? It's not gonna go over well with them.
Racing Into Forever, it's Titan Racing series. There's two books in the Titan Racing. It's by Michael Ray. And I read this a while ago, and it was good. It was gritty. These are definitely grittier. Cal O'Reilly, who Heather just loves, they have Redline, which is their Shadow Crew racing series, and this is Underground Racing. And it's a little dark.
Yeah.
You what?
I have the Fuel series by Ginger Scott, which is like, it's a trilogy, and it follows the same couple from like, they're teenagers in the book, first book, and he's like trying to get into professional racing. And then like there's a lot of drama, a secret baby, a saga, like break your heart multiple times over.
Always a Bridesmaid by Marina Adair. It comes out next week. He's the racer. And they meet by chance.
One thing I noticed is that it seems like TradPub is picking up quite a few of these.
Because there has been an increase of popularity in racing. Like I see influencers talking about racing on TikTok all the time, talking about, different drivers, especially Formula One. I think that they're with that race that happened in Vegas last year, you know, US-wise, there seems to be a new interest in F1 racing instead of being so Euro-centric. And it's hot, and I think it's hot amongst the young Gen Z demographic.
Would make sense.
It's also really popular with women. Like, most of the people who I know who are really into Formula One are women.
Shell Bliss has Throttle. The romance centers on the female race car driver, Susie, who is trying to prove herself in a male-dominated sport. So that was really interesting. It's kind of a Rivals to Lovers a little bit. And then, I don't know.
I have Label by Jenny Lynn. So this is the only book she has wrote since 2021. But it's a brother's best friend. Why does that name sound
familiar?
Is Jenny spelled like my Jenny, and then Lynn is Linn.
Okay.
And it's a brother's best friend. He like returns from the military, and she works on the cars, and they drag race like their own cars at the dirt track on the weekends. And I have a couple other books that like mention racing, because actually M.L. Philpott, the Fractured Ever After series, book 4, The Sound and Silence, which is the Little Mermaid retelling, he does like underground racing, and that's actually a pivotal point for the plot in the book.
Okay. Well, and somebody mentioned Nero's book from Sophie Lark has a bit of it in it.
Oh yeah, he races too. Yep.
Yeah. Lindsay, what else do you have for racing books?
I have a long list of stuff that was on my TBR. Like I said, Lily, scoot. Okay.
Lily's causing issues.
We're having like an earth-shattering thunderstorm out here. Like I keep looking over because I'm like big bolts of lightning right out my window across the sky, and then like the earth is rattling. So she's very upset. But I had quite a few. So I have on my TBR, before I go to that, let me finish about Revived by Samantha Talley. So India is the female main character. She's the therapist for Leandro, the male main character, who is Carrick's rival from book one. And she's helping him work through his PTSD. Helping him work through his PTSD, but there's a romantic suspense element in this book.
Okay.
So that's fun. I can't remember if it's related to his racing or not, but there is a romantic suspense element.
So we're going to put all the book recs on the website. This is a little bit of a shorter episode. We had something happen over here that we had to take care of. So before we do that, let's do our book of the week. Okay, everybody. Lindsay, what's your book of the week?
I don't have one.
That's okay. That's
I
okay.
didn't, I mean, I read books this week, but well, the book I read wasn't a romance.
That's
Like
okay.
the main book I read wasn't a romance. It was a long book. It was called I Hope This Finds You Well, and it was an office book. I read it for my work book club, and I actually really loved it. The girl's totally crazy. Like what she gets busted for,
Doesn't have to be
it's not romance.
romance.
Like I said, it's not romance.
Doesn't
There's
have
a
to be
romantic
romance.
element to it, but she gets busted because she has been writing insults to her coworkers for years in white font, and somebody finally catches her from copying and pasting the email subject matter. Years, it took her years. So now she's like on a PIP plan. Her love interest is like the HR guy, and like it's like HR messes up her email so she can read all company correspondence, everything. Like all the
What was
Slack
that called
messages.
again?
I hope this
This
finds
finds
you
you
well.
well.
And I actually really liked it because like this girl is straight up unhinged. Like love her. Like she hates life. She hates everybody at work. And like she like through this like discovery of like having HR unlock her book her email so she can read everything. Like she's not the best person, but like it does prompt her to better herself. And then like by the end of the book, like she's a really likable character and like it ends well.
Okay.
But yeah.
Jenny, what's your book of the week?
Undertow by Ally Stiles. I've been like waiting to read this. She says it's her darkest book yet, though. We'll see. There seems to be like a little like drug cartel rivalry. Yeah.
Okay. This week I read Hockey Wife by Kate Meter. It's a wake up married in Vegas age gap. Dylan's in his last year of hockey and he's ready to retire, but he comes to Chicago and he wants the chance to win the cup. Georgia is young, flighty, and wants to be a socialite wife. So we'll see how they go. Patreon update. Welcome new Patreon members, Louise and Sarah. We are super excited to have you here. Make sure you come back here on Wednesday for our discussion of buzzing book club pick Brutal Arrangement by Laura Lynn Page. And then we'll be off next Sunday for the holiday weekend, but we'll be back on Wednesday. So for a list of books that we talked about this weekend, please visit our on-the-shelf show notes at buzzingaboutromance.com. I recently had someone ask why I don't put the list of books in the YouTube, and that's because I make no money on YouTube, but we do make money for hits on our website. So it is a small way to supplement the podcast. So just visit the website if you want book lists. And you can find the current list of books for our weekly Wednesday episodes on our website. Don't forget to follow us on social media for more updates and join our community of romance enthusiasts. Thank you guys for joining me for this episode.
Thank
You're
you.
welcome.
Until next time, everybody, happy reading.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.